Now, are we warm enough over here? Because I know sometimes temperature is a problem over there. We're all good. So it's important that we're all comfortable. Good. For the benefit of Caitlin and Cameron, we're going to change a few things around. So now's not the time to not pay attention. So after I've spoken this morning, Caitlin, we're going to go to All Heaven Declares. Okay, just so you can see where you're headed. Thank you very much. We've been looking at this this series on church life. We've been looking at our results of the National Church Life Survey. And if you're visiting us today, I don't know how your particular church has been sharing its results, but we've been sharing ours through a series of messages on Sundays, looking at different themes to do with the Church Life Survey. We felt it was just too much information to give everyone all the graphs and charts in one go. You can absolutely have those if you want them. Nothing's secret. If you want the full thing, I can provide it to you. But we've been looking at different snapshots of it. And today we're looking at this idea of proclamation, proclaiming the name of Jesus, proclaiming his power, proclaiming what Jesus means to us each. And the challenge that is constantly ours to be sharing the love of Jesus with other people. So, let's have a quick look at, there's three slides here, please, Caitlin, thank you. That's the first one, thank you. So this, now the astute among you will recognize that these numbers don't add up to 100% already. I'll explain that in a moment. But basically, when we looked at how we were involved, this is what 90 of you said, and there's about 90 of you here today, so that's a rough, fairly good representation. 47% of us, so that's a little under half, were not regularly involved in ministry. That's high, isn't it? 28% of us said we're involved in community service, and 31% of us said we're involved in evangelism. Now, some of you said you're involved in both community service and evangelism, and that's why those numbers don't add up to 100%. Okay? But the top number I think is worth thinking about. 47% of us are not regularly involved. We're glad that Eli wants to be. Does he always get dragged by his legs? That's so sad. Next one, please, Caitlin. Thank you. So, one of these donut things. So, the dark colour is people who reach out to the community through church activities. And the lighter colour, those who are involved in other community groups. That's important, other community groups, things like schools, being involved in other charities, in other organisations, service organisations. So that's a good number of us that are involved in engaging the community through other means than just church, but church is important too. And the last one, please, Caitlin. Now, these numbers, when I looked at them, surprised me a bit, so I wanted to compare them against the national picture. So 12% of us wanted to prioritise being encouraged to share faith. That's the yellow lines of Newcastle, that's us. And I looked at that and thought, only 12% of us think that's a priority. But then if you look nationally, only 18% of people think that's a priority. Wanting to ensure new people are included, 20% of us said that was important, and 20% of the nation said that was important. Valuing social activities and meeting new people, just 6% of us, just 18% of the nation. And that last one, value those who do not attend church. So our numbers are pretty low, but then so is the national picture, which I find in some ways amazing, surprising, in some ways not very surprising. I don't know how you respond to that. Maybe that tells us something about the decline of the church in our nation. Maybe it says something about where we're at spiritually. We can take that picture down now. Thanks, sweetie. Thank you. We're encouraged to share our faith. I hope that that's something that we all go away with every time we come, whether it's for Sunday worship or some other activity, that we're always about sharing our faith. The Salvation Army is a movement birthed, called by God, raised up by God to to share the good news about Jesus. That's what we're for. And there needs to be a sense of urgency in that. And it's great that so many of us are involved in things, but this idea of proclaiming our faith is very important to us, or should be, and there needs to be a sense of urgency about doing that. You'll be seeing the new National Vision Statement probably next week on film, but there's a few pictures of it around the place as well. I had one earlier. Here it is. Thank you. So these blue laminated cards are around. There'll be bigger ones than this around, but this is our new national vision. And it says, wherever there is hardship or injustice, Salvos will live, love, and fight alongside others to transform Australia one life at a time with the love of Jesus. Now, you might have all kinds of views about that, and all kinds of views about what that statement should say or shouldn't say, but it kind of, you know, that's what it does say, so we just may as well just get on with it. But the idea of transforming Australia one life at a time with the love of Jesus, I think, is a very accessible vision, isn't it? I haven't got the problem of bringing the whole of Newcastle to faith in Christ. That's not on me. But the one life at a time, the one person at a time that I encounter, that you encounter, the idea that that person might encounter transformation, that's accessible, isn't it? That's something we could grab hold of, we could do, isn't it? That is. One life at a time. And if you imagine, every single transformed life goes and transforms another one, and another one, and another one, and it doesn't take very long before you reach a nation. It doesn't. Urgency in proclaiming the Lordship of Christ. William Booth said, founder of the Salvation Army, he said this, "We are not sent to minister to a congregation and be content if we keep things going. We are sent to make war and to stop short of nothing but the subjugation of the world to the sway of the Lord Jesus." That's a pretty militant statement, isn't it? And not one that sits very comfortably in our modern day world. But if we believe that Jesus is Lord, if we believe that there's an eternal destiny for everybody, if we believe that, then why would we withhold that message from people? We read at the beginning of our worship from Romans 10, and Paul explaining what's required to come to faith. I remind you, it's this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And when we read that this morning, a whole bunch of you said amen and hallelujah, and we kind of entered into that. If you openly declare, says Paul, that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there's a heart transaction and there's a proclamation transaction. Something happens inside of me that makes me believe, and I express that outwardly to others. Because, says Paul, he goes on, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And someone told you. And someone told me. More than one person, actually. And there were people who told us, and there were people that taught us, and there are people that nurtured us. And our constant challenge is to be that for other people. It's very restful. No one's noticed. Okay. I'm happy to chat to them. Can you put them on? Isn't it interesting? When people call, we answer, don't we? When people want our attention, they get it immediately. And we've got the most compelling message the world needs to hear, and we need to get people's attention, don't we? Maybe what we should do is just cold call everyone. Wouldn't that be great if that's God calling Alec? Not in an eternal sense. On the off chance that that's serious and important, we hope and pray that all is well. This idea that we've got something that we shouldn't withhold is really important. There's do you know the two American illusionists, Penn and Teller? Have you seen those guys? You know, the big guy with the beard and the guy who never says anything. Well, Penn Jillette, the one who speaks, he's a very outspoken atheist. Speaks a lot about his atheism. But he tells what I think is a very moving encounter with a Christian. It's a little bit of a few minutes on a film. If we could have the Penn Jillette clip, please, Caitlin. This is not a believer. He's very open about not being a believer, but it's courteously said. It's appropriate for a Sunday morning. Just listen to what this guy has to say. Thanks, Caitlin.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand, because we'd give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff. And then he said, "I brought this for you." And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, "I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing." And then he said, "I'm a businessman. I'm sane, I'm not crazy." And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. But this guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on. And then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
It's quite powerful, isn't it? So a guy who doesn't believe that there's a God at all, you can see that he's visibly moved by that encounter. For a guy who doesn't believe there's a God at all, to say, how much do you have to hate someone not to tell them that you think that they might be going to hell? I'm very challenged by that personally. There is an urgency. And if we really believe what we say we believe, then we should, those numbers for our proclamation should be off the chart. If we really believe what we say we believe. Here's Jesus sending out disciples. It's Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If the head of the house loves peace, your peace will rest on that house. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for workers deserve their wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal those who are ill and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And to verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There is an urgency. Jesus sends these guys out with urgency. Go. Don't take time to pack. Don't get distracted. Just get on the road and go. And go to these places and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come. They are told to do this when they get there, to declare peace. Biblical peace, as you know, is not just the absence of conflict. Biblical peace is complete wholeness, complete wellness, spiritual well-being, emotional well-being, physical well-being. Ultimately, peace that is about our reconciliation with God. And that takes us back to Romans 10. That's what Paul's writing about. Peace with God that's available. And they are told to declare peace, to say to these people that all God wants peace, wants reconciliation, wants them in his family, wants them in his kingdom. There's an urgency about that. Don't take time to pack. Don't gather up stuff. Just go and announce it. And I don't know about you, but I get very distracted. Very distracted. We've had a few this morning, and we can smile at them because we're family and we care about each other, and that's okay. But we do get distracted, don't we? We've seen some tragic consequences this week of distraction with someone driving a car, haven't we? And distraction does have consequence. And Jesus is saying, don't get distracted, just go. Don't worry about what you need for the trip, just go. Because when you get there, people will have what you need. And this is important for salvationists, because we like to have all the stuff. We like to have all the answers. We like to have we've got our welfare system, we've got our alcohol and drugs expertise, we've got all this great stuff, and it is good. But sometimes we kind of come to people like, we've got all the answers. There's a power imbalance when we do that, friends. Because when people come to us wanting stuff, we've got stuff. When you've got something that someone else needs, you've got power over them. It's important for us. Jesus sends his people out to be dependent on the people they're going to. They need something from the people they're going to. We don't do that very well. We don't do that very well. We don't go in an attitude of dependence and humility to other people. And it will happen again tomorrow, and it will happen again every day this week. People will come because we've got things that they need and or want. And it will happen over Christmas. But it's really a powerful thing to be able to go to someone and say, could you do this for me? So Jesus sends his people out into those houses with a very different kind of power relationship. They are going to be sleeping out on the streets unless someone takes them in. That's quite a thing for evangelists, isn't it? For mission trips. That'd be like saying to the caravan guys, go, just head out into the bush. Don't bother about taking your vans. You'll be fine. Someone will feed you. Don't worry about taking food. There's a challenge to think about next year. Just get in the trucks and go. Don't even worry about the fuel, because someone will provide that on the way. Yeah. I find it very challenging because I like to prepare and plan and be organised, and I want to know where you know. I don't drive around this country without knowing where the fuel stops are or where I'm going to sleep, all that stuff. Jesus sends his people out and says, just go get to the people and proclaim peace, declare that God has come, that his kingdom is available. There is urgency in it. Just go and do that. They declare peace, and they demonstrate the kingdom. When he says to them, heal the sick, it doesn't just say heal the sick. He says, verse 9, heal those there who are ill, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. The miracles that Jesus does, and the miracles Jesus asks us to do, and you might not think we do miracles, but when people are on the receiving end of us, sometimes that's how they see it, they're all about demonstrating the values of the kingdom. It's about pointing to a greater reality than ourselves. It's about pointing to the values of what Jesus thinks are important. Jesus heals people in order to demonstrate the values of the kingdom. That is a place where there won't be illness and mourning and sorrow and death. It won't be. Those things do not belong in God's new world. And so he says to these disciples, just when you do things, when you pray for people, announce the kingdom, demonstrate the kingdom. It's all about living out kingdom values. And when we talk about transforming our nation one person at a time, one life at a time with the love of Jesus, that's done by living out the values of God's kingdom. When we're gracious to someone that's not kind to us, when we go the extra mile for someone else, when we're generous to people, when we just engage someone else as our equal, as our brother and sister, when we give value and worth to people, all of these things are the values of God's kingdom. That's what we're called to demonstrate, to announce. The disciples go, they declare peace, they demonstrate the kingdom, and in all of it, they are told, to display Jesus, to point to Jesus, not to themselves. They come back at the end of that chapter. They're rejoicing at all the great things they've seen done. Even demons submit to us in your name. Wow. And Jesus says, oh, that's great. But the most important thing is that your name's in the book of life. Rejoice about that. Always about pointing to the greater reality that is Jesus. And for you and me, that's important, I want to suggest. Particularly, we're coming into Christmas, it's going to be busy. We're going to be out and about doing things for people. People are going to be coming here to receive food and toys and all sorts of things. And it's going to be a great week or two when we do it, and you're welcome to be part of it. We'd love you to be. Please don't miss out on the opportunities that there are going to be for ministry in this place over Christmas. But in all of that, it's not about what we do. It's not about what the Salvation Army does. It's about who Jesus is and what difference he wants to make to someone's life. It has to be about pointing to him. It has to be about displaying him. It has to always be not about us, but about him. And it's challenging, isn't it? Go back to Penn Jillette. If I believe there was a truck bearing down on you and you didn't, he said, I'd still push you out of the way. Friends, we are not here for ourselves. We are not here to keep things going, to use the founder's phrase. If we really believe it, then we are about bringing the whole world to subjugation to the Lordship of Christ. That begins here for me. You will make your own response. We'll never grasp the urgency if we haven't grasped it for ourselves. We'll never be the best evangelists in the world, and some of us aren't gifted to be that way. We're all called to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom. Some people are more natural evangelists than others. Some people are particularly gifted to do that. But we'll never grasp the urgency of proclaiming Jesus' Lordship unless we've really understood what it means for us. And if we're just playing at this thing called faith, and if we're just being very casual about it, we'll never grasp it for anyone else. It'll just be a very private affair. And it might see you into heaven. But that's not the point. Jesus has got a much more important project going on than you and me getting into heaven. It's about renewing the entire creation. It's about repairing the world. It's about making the world what the world was always intended to be. That's why demonstrating the kingdom is important, because then we say that's how it's supposed to be, and that's how it's going to be again when Jesus comes back. And every morning you and I wake up, we are one day closer to Jesus returning. Ever think about that? And we pray for that, and we look at the state of our world, and we pray for that. Come, Lord Jesus. And we want to be ready. We want also to have done our part, don't we? To demonstrate, to display Jesus, to declare peace. Well, we've been looking at using these challenge cards in these last few weeks. And we've got another one for you this week, which we'll hand out as we sing. And it's very simple this week. It's simple when it's written down on the card. And it's very simple if that card goes onto your fridge and stays there. But it's quite a challenge if you actually take it seriously. One life at a time. One person this week, to whom we will tell what Jesus, who Jesus is, and what he means to us, and what he can do for them. That's about 90 conversations about Jesus one-to-one this week. Now, if every one of those people came with you to worship next week, we were putting out more chairs already. It's very, very simple. It's also very, very challenging. And I take the challenge for myself as well, as offer it to you this day. Friends, there is an urgency, there is a need. People are lost, bewildered, and we know, and every week Hannah reminds us, the answer is always Jesus to every question. And she's grasped it. I pray she never loses the natural way in which she just announces Jesus to every conversation. When did we lose that? Let him allow us and help us to rediscover it this week. I'm going to use the song All Heaven Declares. It's a strong song, really. It's about announcing who Jesus is. But we're going to use it a couple of times. And these challenge cards are going to be handed out as we make our own response. And if you need to respond at this place of prayer before you head out into your world this week, then this place is always available to you. If there's somebody you want to pray with, pray for, move around, go do that, respond, take the card, don't just stick it on the fridge, do something with it. Declaring peace, the peace of Christ, demonstrating the kingdom and displaying to the very end of the age. Amen. The Lord bless you. Grace and peace be with you each. Amen.